Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, technical difficulties. Let me start the opening. Hold on. Hello, everyone. Welcome. Thank you so much for joining us on this evening for the Ginger London Show. I'm so excited. We're into our seventh annual National Women's History Month celebration where we are celebrating women. This year, our theme is Be Amazing. And we're talking about be amazing as a woman in all areas of your life. And so we will be interviewing some amazing women throughout the rest of the month, who will share their testimonies with you, talk to you about what amazing things they're doing in life, in ministry, in business, in their careers, in their families and relationships. And so I'm just excited. And I'm really excited because tonight we have someone who is returning. She joined us last year, and she's coming back this year, and this is Marcella D. Moore. And before I tell you a little bit about her, I'm just going to let her come on and say hello and greet you. Are you there, Marcella?
God bless you, Minister Ginger. Yes, I am, and hoping that you can hear me clearly.
Yes, I can hear you, yes.
Okay,
yes.
Awesome.
And so we're excited to have you. I'm looking forward to a great show on tonight, especially with the topic that we're going to, I'm going to let you talk about it per se, but I'm really, really excited to have you on. It's always a pleasure to meet women who are doing great things for God and who are doing great things just in life and in business and so forth. And so, I could share a lot about you, but I know we're going to be talking about it, so I don't want to read your bio and then have you repeat this, you know, the same things with the questions that we're going to be asking this evening. And so let's just get right into it. And I just want you to let us hear a little bit about yourself and share your testimony with us.
Absolutely, absolutely. Let me first just start by saying thank you for this awesome opportunity to come on and be a part of your amazing show. You talk about be amazing. You are definitely an amazing woman, and I thank God for you. And I think I mentioned that last year, and I'll mention it again this year. Some years ago when I was on my path of self-rediscovery, I took some classes with you, some online classes, got to get myself together. I think that's what it was called. And those classes and that time with you were such an important part of me, my realignment as it pertains to just rediscovering my purpose and getting myself back together. So I thank you for being amazing back then. I thank you for being amazing today. And I'm excited about the even more amazing things that God will use you for as you continue to walk out your purpose in this earth. So as you said, my name is Marcella Denise Moore. I am the oldest of four children. Both of my parents are deceased. I love them dearly. My dad left this earth at the age of 45. I will be 55 in June. So every year I get past 45, I celebrate it, and I celebrate it with style. My mom passed away about 4 years ago. And while still wishing that she was here, I'm happy to say that in my grieving process, I'm able to move forward in the earth doing the things that I know that God has called me to do and the things that my mother has prayed for even as she walked throughout this earth. I have a favorite son. His name is Elisha. He is my double portion. And I have a favorite daughter. My daughter's name is Destiny. So one thing that I am more proud of than anything is the fact that God has given me this ability to maintain and to help manage this, my 24-year-old and my 28-year-old. So those are the things that cause me to thrive. Those are the things that are a very important part of who I am today. As it pertains to purpose and ministry, I serve as a minister, getting ready to go to another level, being ordained in May at the Abundant Life Family Worship Church in New Brunswick, New Jersey. I also have my own official, as of March the 2nd, 501c3 nonprofit organization called Motivate and Pray, and it's a support services organization. We provide support services to believers on their discovery, and another strong arm of what we do is providing support services in terms of self-development and self-growth to caregivers. The thing that we ring in their ears is self-love is not selfish. So those are some of the things that I do in addition to working a full-time job and maintaining my own God's ministry and my own nonprofit organization. So those are some of the things that I do, and you probably, there's no doubt that you may have mentioned some of those if you've read my bio.
Yes, I'm excited to hear what you just said, because you said, about the self-love. I mean, it is so important. We might hear a little bit about that. I don't know what you're going to teach us on tonight, the content of it. But it's just, I think we are at a place where people need to get back to that self-love, and not to feel like it's wrong to love yourself. Not that you don't love other people, but you can't honestly do it correctly if you don't love yourself, It's been a year since you've been on and since we've talked to you. I following you on Facebook. I see all the great things that are happening to you. And we are celebrating National Women's History Month, and our theme is Be Amazing. So, and you mentioned a couple of them, but what are some other amazing things that you've experienced as a woman?
As a woman, well, one thing that just happened for me that in February, so that was last month, a wonderful organization in the city of New Brunswick named me as one of the sheroes in the community for their Black History program. And it was an amazing thing. It was an amazing opportunity. I was very humbled. And the thing about that is it just did my heart good to know that someone sees me. And when I say that, I don't say someone sees me in a sense of, my appearance and how I look and what I'm doing. But I say it in a way of somebody sees the work that I do. And oftentimes when we're servant leaders and we're working and we're doing our best to make things better for everybody else, sometimes we have those moments where we may feel like that no one sees us. But I was so grateful on that day of celebration, and it was just an amazing thing. So that was truly amazing for me, as a person and an individual. And as a woman, I just continue to evolve to this place of owning who I am as a woman, owning who I am as a lady. I was a single mother. I was married for almost 17 years. My ex-husband and I divorced. I've been divorced for about 15 years. So I think when my children were 10 years old and 6 years old, I shifted from being a two-family household to raising my children by myself, becoming a single mom. It was quite challenging, especially because my mother was a stay-at-home mom, and she was always there for us. And I always envisioned the same thing for my children, but that was not my lot. So just, evolve into this place of embracing who I am as a woman, because what happens for many of us as women, even women who live in a house and they have a husband, if they have the husband and they are the ones who has to do everything, it's so easy for us to just pick up these male traits and this level of masculinity and feel like we're wrong and we have to do this and we have to do that. But I celebrate the fact that I am a lady. I celebrate the fact that I am a woman. I celebrate the fact that I am a woman of virtue, a woman of influence. And each and every day, I try to make sure that because I moved in around for so long that had me doing things that a father should have done or doing things that a man should have done, and now just fully embracing, because my children are adults now, and fully embracing the fact that I am a lady, I am a woman, I can walk in that. God, thank you for giving me the strength that I needed during that time of being a single parent. But right now, God, in the moment that I am, I just want to be a woman. I just want to be a lady. And I want to experience that in gentleness and softness and just, you know, celebrating the fact that that's who I am.
Amen. Amen. You know, that's exciting. That's really exciting to hear. Along with all of the exciting things that you talked about, in your bio it says that you are a 3-time Amazon best-selling co-author, and I have been a contributing writer to some work. Tell us about co-authoring work. You know, how is that, and what did that do for you to be a co-author of a book of some books?
I think that I've always known from years ago when I didn't even know how, I always knew that I was supposed to be an author. And back when I really understood it, and accepted the fact that along the lines where down the road that would be something that I would do, it was just such an expensive thing to do. When I looked at it, at that time you would have to have a publisher, you would have to, you know, it was just such a huge task, thing, so unreachable at the time. Well, now today, collaborations and anthologies and being co-authors, it is such a it's a popular thing. It's an amazing thing because what it does, it gives people who know that they have a story to tell, it sets you in position to be able to tell your story, to understand the writing process, to understand the steps that it takes to publish a book. And although I have not been the collaborator, the compiler of the books that I am, it's given me such an understanding that I am down the road going to do some of those things myself. So being a co-author gives me an opportunity to share my story. It makes becoming an author more attainable, and it allows me to meet some amazing people throughout the country who have stories that may not be just like mine, but they are just like mine. So it's been an amazing opportunity, and I'll keep doing them when God drops them on my heart. And if I feel the person who is compiling them, agree with the message and the heart that they have in doing that, I'll continue to do them. But I will now, even I'm in a position now where I'm about to do some of my own. So co-authoring is an awesome thing, an awesome opportunity that gets you closer to that place of being an author.
Absolutely. I know when I was a contributing writer for a study Bible and writing biblical profiles and articles and all of those things and having to meet deadlines and getting those articles and writings to the person, it was challenging, but it was also very disciplined, because you become a disciplined writer and you become focused in your writing, you know, which helps to position you to be an author in your own right, you know, which you are anyway, but being able to be a part of someone else's work helps to prepare you for what God has purposed for you individually. And it helped, I know for me, it helped me to find, to really fine-tune my writing skills and to really keep my writing on point, you know, based on what they wanted, you know. And it helped with the studying that went along with being able to write what was needed at the time. And so it really, as you said, it's an experience. But for me, it was very empowering because it helped me to develop as a writer. I already had some things written on my own, but to be able to submit your things to someone else that's going to be publishing, go nationwide, if not internationally, because this was a study Bible, so it went internationally. So it truly was a blessing, and it did position me, you know, to know that that it's within me and that I am, you know, it may not be on that scale as, you know, publishing like a study Bible, but I know probably on the level you're talking about, writing your own books or doing your own collaboration where it's yours, you know, it helps you to really get ready for that because you see the process, you know, when you're just standing back and buying something at the bookstore, you don't know the process the author had to go through to get it to where we purchase it out the store. But when you become a part of the entire process, you learn way more about publishing and writing and becoming an author and what is required and the marketing and all this other things that we don't consider when we just say, hey, I want to buy this, you know.
Right,
So, yeah, absolutely. So what does it mean? I mean, you know, in your bio it says that you are known as the reminder, the motivator, and light. So what does that mean?
So it's the reminder. So my introduction is, this is Marcella D. Moore. I am the life giver, the reminder, and the motivator. Those are the three. First, when I started out some years ago, I would just say that I was the life giver and motivator. And as I began to speak in the different messages that God would give me, God would often say to me that I've called you to remind my people. Remind my people of A, remind my people of B, remind my people of C, whatever my message was at that time. So that's how I captured that title as far as the reminder, because I believe that the messages that God gives me as a minister, as an inspirational speaker, they are set to remind people of who they are in God. They are set to remind us as a people, as a nation, that God's love for us is unconditional. So when I come as the reminder. That's the seed that my intent as far as my experience with you is to drop a seed reminding you of anything as it pertains to what God has called you and what is given to you. The motivator, that's who I am. That's what I do. I think I came out of my mother's womb being a motivator. While for many years I could not define that, I did not know what it was, I just always knew I had this ability to speak to people and to lift them up. And I know that it was the God-given ability that He has given me. Now, the life giver. The life giver came about when my mom passed away, as I mentioned earlier, 4 years ago. And as I was in the process of reclaiming my purpose, every time I would take her to a doctor's appointment, every time I would take her, anything that had to do with doctors, care that she had, she would always have a conversation with everybody. She went in, she was the light of the room, she was the smile that brought people joy, and she always said to them, do you have anything you need my daughter to pray for? She pushed me back into this place of prayer. And she said every single time I found myself praying every day for somebody, praying every day for somebody. And one day when I was praying, I heard God say that I just want you to speak life to them. I want you to give life to them because you are the life giver, because I am the life giver, and I want to give life to them through you. So from there, so that's how the reminder, the motivator, and the life giver. And as far as the message that God has dropped in my spirit, the message that He has given me, it is always centered around those three areas. And I believe that those are the three areas that He has called me to move in so that I can be effective in what He has called me to do in this earth.
Amen. So I'm excited because I know tonight we're going to experience all three of those areas. you know, when you teach us on tonight. I can't wait. I'm excited. And, you know, in the write-up and on the Facebook post and LinkedIn and Twitter and Instagram and all those places, you know, before I let everybody know what the topic was going to be, I started off with a question, and the question is, what kind of people are you hanging out with? You know, and, you know, as women, we have a tendency sometimes to hang out with some of the wrong people, you know, and sometimes we don't know how to disconnect, you know, from that. We feel a little guilty sometimes. And then so even on jobs, you know, you hang out with the wrong coworkers or you have the wrong friends, you know, especially if you're striving for what God has purposed for your life. And if they're not going in the same direction, doing the same thing, you know, you don't know how to pull away. You feel a little funny pulling away. And so you end up staying longer connected to something and someone that you shouldn't be connected with. And when you look back, you say, that's why I've been dragging my feet, because I've been hanging around the wrong people. And so my comment to the audience through the post is that, you know, to have an amazing life, you need some amazing connections. And so at this point, we're going to turn it over to you and let you teach us on, you know, making the right connections, especially as women. And so you just let me know when you're finished. And as of right now, everybody who's on and listening and those listening to the replay, here is Marcella D. Moore with Making the Right Connections. It's on you.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you so much again, Minister Ginger. And, you know, when I saw the theme, as she mentioned, when we started this call for this National Women's History Month celebration, an acknowledgement, she said, be amazing, be amazing, be amazing. And I just, that title was all in itself, because I celebrate the fact that we serve a God who has created us in his image and his likeness. So since we have been created in his image, because we have been created in his likeness, then we have this ability in us to be amazing. Why? Because the God that created us, the God who created us, has made us amazing simply because he is. So being amazing is something that we attain, it's something that we get to, it's something that we acquire. And although when God dropped us in our mother's wombs and he released us in this earth, he gave us this ability to come out to be amazing. He came out, gave us this ability to come out and be great. He gave us this ability to come out and receive every good thing that he has designed for us in this earth. But what happens is that we grow up and we enter into this earth and we get into situations and we have to, things don't go the way that we want them to go. We get hurt, we get bruised. Some of us are abused. Some of us are in situations, and it seems like you can't make it, and you didn't know what was going to happen. And the scripture says it's like the enemy comes to choke the word of God out of us. So because of that, we often forget that we have this ability to be amazing. We often forget that we have this ability to be great. We often forget that God himself is doing something that is so amazing in our lives, and we just forget. But I'm excited tonight because as the reminder, as the motivator, as the life giver, God has sent me tonight to remind us, because oftentimes when I'm talking to myself as well. He's reminding us that to be amazing, we have to make sure that we are connected to not only the right people, but connected to the right things. Being in the right way, doing the right things, is so powerful in itself. I think of the scripture. It says that Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. The scripture didn't say that Jesus sits at the hand of the Father making intercession for us. It didn't say that he sits at the left side making intercession for us. He said he sits at the right hand of the Father. So that lets me know that there is power in that right, that R-I-G-H-T. So we know that in his presence is fullness of joy, that with his right hand there are pleasures forevermore. So there is something powerful about being in the, having the right connection. There's something powerful about being in the right way. There's something powerful about doing the right say is something powerful, just positioning yourself to be connected to and with those things that will cause you to walk in the way that God would have you to walk. There's something powerful about positioning yourself so that you can release and birth all of the life that God has on the inside of you. So I'm going to take you, if you don't mind, just going down this journey with me tonight. And I want to talk to you about two women. And I'll name some other women probably as we talk about these two. But one woman was an older woman and the other one was a younger woman. And you can find these two women in the book of Ruth. And the book of Ruth tells the story about this woman, older woman named Noemi. And Noemi, she was thriving. She had a good life. She married this man, and from this man, they birthed two sons, and their lives were good. Well, then a famine came in the land, and other things began to happen in the land. And Naomi's husband passed away, and so did her two sons. Well, the great thing about her two sons, they gave her two daughter-in-laws, who she loved, and they loved her as well. So when the father passed away and the two sons passed away, Noemi looked at her two daughter-in-laws and she said to them, "Listen, you can go back to your mother's house because I don't have anything else here for you." And I'm sure I wasn't there, but she probably said, "You are some beautiful young ladies. You have your whole future ahead of you. You can go and meet another young man who will give you a good life and give you an abundant life. So I release you because I don't have anything for you." And she even went on to say that if I did bear another son, would you wait, other sons, would you wait for them to get grown? So she encouraged them to go back to their mother's house so that they can thrive and that they can grow. Well, one of the daughter-in-laws, she made a decision that after, because initially both of them, they did not want to go, but Ruth kept talking to them. So eventually one of the daughters made a decision that she was going to go back. But then the other daughter-in-law, name was Ruth, and this is the book of Ruth. And Ruth said, "Nope, I'm not going. I'm staying with you. I'm committed to you. Where you go, I'll go. Your God will be my God. I am staying with you." So Ruth decided that she would be with Naomi. So the other daughter-in-law, she went on. And because she went on, that did not make her a bad person. Because she went on, that doesn't say anything negative about her. It just means that as she went on, that she was no longer a part of the process for Naomi. She was no longer a part of the process for Ruth. She was no longer a part of the purpose that God had designed for those two women. So it's so important, ladies, that when we're dealing with each other, and when it's not just with ladies to ladies, it's any situation, we have to be willing to let go of people when they no longer want to be in our presence. And it doesn't make them bad people. It doesn't say anything negative about them. But when it's time for them to go, release them and let them go. Because not only are you blocking your blessing, but you're blocking the blessing that God has for them. So Naomi and Ruth goes back to when Naomi used to live. And when she gets there, some of her girls from back in the day when she used to live there, they called her by her first name. And Naomi looked at them and she told them, "Don't call me by that name because God has dealt with me and life has not been good to me. My husband is no longer here. I lost my two sons and now I'm just here with my daughter-in-law and myself. So I'm not happy. I'm not the joyous woman that I was when you saw me some time ago. In my heart is heavy. My heart is bitter. And so don't call me that name pleasant. Don't call me that name good." So she continued to live out there, and Ruth was with her. And as Ruth began to go on and Naomi began to go, Naomi began to give Ruth instructions concerning their future. Now, I can't even say, in reading this, I don't even think that Noemi knew at that time what she was doing. I think she was doing what she knew to do. And what she knew to do at that time was to position Ruth for her destiny, even in Noemi's pain, because guess what? She was still in pain. She was still disappointed. It was a fact that these things had happened to her. But because she loved Ruth so much and because she knew what was on the inside of, I believe that God gave her a glimpse of understanding understanding. And while she may have not been able to articulate what was about to happen, what was about to manifest to her, simply because she had the right connection. So now, as time is going forward, these two ladies, older lady and a new lady, they're coming together. The older lady in her wisdom, in her understanding, even though she's hurt, even though her heart is heavy, she's able to speak to this younger woman and give her instructions regarding what to do. Now, oftentimes when we hear about the book of Ruth, those of us who are biblical based and we know the word of God, we hear about the book of Ruth and we get so excited because we say the book of Ruth is all about Boaz, Ruth meeting her Boaz. But the book of Ruth is even greater than just Ruth meeting her Boaz, because had Ruth not positioned herself to stay with Naomi, having the right connection with Naomi, she would have not been able to reap the benefits of celebrating the fact that God positioned her for the Boaz that he had in her life. So they're connected. You have older generation and younger generation. And the thing that I so love about this story, because God brings, he does an alignment, and he did an alignment in the older generation and the younger generation. He allowed them to come together, and because they came together, some tremendous things were birthed out of Naomi and Ruth's relationship. God took this woman who her heart was broken and she had some bitterness on the inside. She was disappointed and her heart was heavy. He used her, even in her heaviness, to be able to speak to the destiny of this young woman. And because she spoke to the destiny of this young woman, God began to do something great for her. What I want to read to you tonight is a scripture, a part of Ruth, the fourth chapter, because Ruth is a very small book in the Old Testament. And after they made it through chapter 1 and chapter 2 and chapter 3, they got to the point towards the end of the fourth chapter, and it says, let me see, it's Ruth, the fourth chapter, the 13th verse. It says, "So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. When he made love to her, the Lord enabled her to conceive, and she gave birth to a son. The women said to Naomi, 'Praise be to the Lord, who this day has not left you without a guardian redeemer. May he become famous throughout Israel. He will renew your life and sustain you in your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you and who is better to you than seven sons, have given him birth.' Then Naomi took the child in her arms and cared for him. The women living there said, 'Naomi has a son,' and they named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David." And this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be unto God. I wanted to read to you that ending part because I want to encourage someone who may be listening to this replay. I want you to understand that where you are is not where you will be. If you would just hold on to God's unchanging hand, if you would get an understanding that God is not going to leave you, and even in your brokenness, with your heart heavy, God is going to align you in a way where you can make connection with someone that is literally going to propel you towards the destiny that God has for you. These same women, I believe, were the same women who greeted Naomi when she came back into the city, and she told them, "Don't call me that name, because that's not who I am anymore." These same women got to see her experience, God giving her double for her trouble, in a sense, God giving her even more. It says that your daughter-in-law, who you love, and she loves you, she has given you more than seven sons. So what am I saying to you? So this older woman, again, who was broken, and she took this young woman, and because they had a right connection, because they were able to come together and they walked out this thing, Ruth was willing to listen to the wisdom that God had given Naomi. She could have simply said, "You know what, you're an older woman. You don't have much to give me. I need to go and be with someone who knows a little bit something about something. But because she understood, I believe, the power of the right connection in that time, she held on tight to Noemi. And because she held on tight to Naomi, God connected them in a way where Noemi was able to give understanding and give wisdom, and Ruth was able to position herself to be found by Boaz. And then her and Boaz came together and they created something amazing. And Noemi got to benefit from that blessing simply because she had the right connection. So this right connection, when you have a right connection and you are rightly connected to the people and the things that God designed for you, even in your place of weakness, even in your place of brokenness, God will allow you to reap the benefits. God will allow you to see his hand of glory. God will allow you to get the information that you need to be successful in your business. He will give you witty inventions and he will give you ideas simply because of the right connection. There's a right connection that God has with us. When he sent his only begotten son into the world that we might have a right to the tree of life, when we got connected with Jesus, then we had the right connection. So the Father was connected to him and he's connected to us. And when we stay connected to him, we become divine and we understand what God is doing in us and what he desires to give us. He will bless us in a way that it just will literally blow your mind. It's saying, God, position me, because a lot of us, and I even prayed this prayer today, God, give me the ability to be aware of the opportunities when you present them before me. Give me the ability to see through the spirit of discernment. Holy Spirit, allow me to see who to connect with and who not to connect with, because some people desire to connect with you for what they can get from you. But when it's the right connection, God will allow you to give and receive. He will allow that other person to give and receive, and God will just allow some great things to take place. I need somebody to get excited about your life tonight. I need you to get an understanding that where you are today, do not lose hope, do not give up, because you, as long as you keep moving, as long as you keep going forward, as long as you make a decision that you are not going to stop, God himself will come and he will manifest himself in your life in a way that it will bless you in a way that you can't even articulate. I know for a shadow of doubt, without a shadow of a doubt, that Noemi had no idea that she would be at the end of this chapter, being where she was, being able to hold a baby that she called her own, being able to walk with this daughter-in-law who was the right connection. I know at that time she was so happy that Ruth didn't make a decision to go back to her mother, but she was so grateful that she stood right there. And when you are in the right position, God will cause people to come around you, to cause your baby to leap. I believe that was one of the things that Ruth did for Naomi. That's why Naomi was able to give her instruction concerning what to do, because Ruth, the younger one, caused the baby to leap in Noemi. And because the baby leaped, the baby came forth in a way of wisdom and instructions and being able to tell Ruth what to do and when to do it and how to do it. And God is positioning us even now for us to be able to understand that he's setting us up for right connection. He's setting us up for divine connection. He's setting us up to do something awesome in our lives, because there is so much that God has invested in us as women. There's so much that he has given unto us. We are the life givers. We are the midwives. We are the ones who can take the dreams. We are the ones who can take the seed and cause seed to have life. And when we understand the power of aligning with the right people and aligning in the right things, we will know that God is speaking to us. We will know that God is doing something in us, and we'll get an understanding of who we are in God. Because the one thing that we fail to realize, you know, there is a myth that goes around in this society and this world, and they show it on reality TV, is that women can't get along and all women do is fight with each other. But no, not us. because we've been called by his, by the name of Almighty God. We've been called, and God is calling us by our full name. And because we have been called, we love each other. We encourage each other. We nurture each other. We build each other up. And we don't get jealous because we may be doing the same things. We don't get jealous because we're trying to be in competition with each other. No, that's not the message that we have. That's not the message that we give. That's not the aura that God causes us to send out in this earth. But what he sends out us to do is to be like a Deborah and JL. When God gave Deborah the assignment and JL was the one to finish it out, and Deborah went on in the next chapter, I think it's in the book of Judges, the fifth chapter, and she began to celebrate JL because JL carried out the assignment. And that's what God has called us to do. Deborah and JL, they were the right connection in that time and in that season when women were not even popular and women were not given a voice. They stood together to destroy the works of the enemy. And as we continue to do that, understanding that God is doing something in us, remembering that we have that same Naomi and Ruth anointing, and when we allow ourselves to co-partner and collaborate with other women, that tremendous things will come out of it, and that we will only see the goodness of God, and that the babies that are leaping all around us, we will speak life to them, we will remind them of who they are, and we will just begin to build this world and build this earth in a way that God had can and will be seen, because that's what God has given in us. So I just want to encourage you with those words, and I want to encourage you even in your prayer time. God, I thank you for that Noemi and Ruth anointing where they came together, when they had the right connection. Give me that opportunity to experience the same thing with the person that you have ordained me to be connected with in this earth. And God, just help us, even as women, as we continue to move forward, to just shine and to encourage each other and to build each other up. That's the voice. That's the prayer that God desires us to walk in. So I just pray that you were blessed with those words, but I pray that you were not only blessed with them, I pray that you would allow them to fall on good soil, and that you would nurture those words, and that you would allow God to take even the little seeds that I dropped in your spirit today, and that you would allow him to cause some great things to be birthed on the inside of you. In turn, as they're birthed on the inside of you, that you would release them in this earth, because God has something so amazing for you, and you are the right connection for somebody. There's somebody who's sitting and waiting for you to manifest because you are their right connection. So celebrate the fact that God loves you. Celebrate the fact that he loves you unconditionally, and position yourself to be that right connection in this earth. Minister Ginger.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Marcella, for that powerful teaching. I know I'm sitting here, you know, thinking about everything you've said. I did a manual for single women called Discerning Your Boaz, taken from the book of Ruth. And listening to you tonight, you know, it's a different perspective on it when you talk about connections, you know, and being connected. And had the two not made the right connection with each other, the process would not have gone the way that it did, or she would not have been in a part of the process. And I just loved it, the way that you explained that. And let's talk for just a few minutes, because there's probably somebody who's either listening live right now, excuse me, or maybe listening, may listen to the replay. And you mentioned about, you know, disconnecting and with people who are not right or things that are not right. How can a woman make a disconnect, you know, with, and at the same time, manage her emotions? Because we are emotional creatures, if you will, and men are too. But, you know, people have a tendency to say that we're more emotional. But if you're human, you're emotional unless you're just really stone-hearted. But how can a woman make a disconnect gracefully, you know, so that she can align herself again with the purpose of God if she's connected to the wrong person or to the wrong thing? How can she disconnect gracefully?
I think the most important thing in answering that question is for us to, we have to, first of all, understand who we are. Because you say, when you say disconnect gracefully, and we are women, we are emotional, we are, it's the weaker vessel in a sense, and in saying the weaker vessel, that doesn't make us low or anything like that. But when we know who we are and we understand the fact that God has divine purpose for us and that everybody is not a part of that purpose, and some relationships are meant to be temporary, some are meant to be permanent, some are just meant to be a second and a hello or a goodbye. When we, within ourselves, become secure in who we, then that is the time and the place where we can let go gracefully. Because a lot of times, when we find ourselves in situations and a person comes to us and say, you know what, I don't want to be your friend anymore, or a man says to us, I don't want this relationship anymore, or anybody, if a job says, I'm letting you go because you're not, you know, you can't function here anymore, we automatically go inward. We automatically go, oh, I'm not good enough. Oh, I did something wrong. Oh, I'm this and that. So when we do that, then we give power to that other situation or that other thing. But when we understand who we are in God and that God loves us enough that He will order our steps if we acknowledge Him in all of our ways, and that if someone walks away from us, it's okay because life goes on. I think the whole core and the whole center of any of that, anything, is knowing who we are. And when you know who you are, you have this godly security that if anybody chooses to walk away from you, you will bless them, you will let them go, because you know that it has nothing to do with you. But most of the time, that's not the case, because we go inwardly, and that inward conversation says something is wrong with me.
Absolutely. And I asked that question because you mentioned about, you know, watching reality shows and seeing the women on those shows bicker and fuss and fight and all the stuff they do with each other. But I've noticed, I've watched one, and I've noticed that they don't know how to disconnect gracefully, you know. And I have friends and I have relatives, you know, and coworkers. Sometimes women don't know how to disconnect gracefully. And I think, you know, we get so, we allow our emotions to get turned upside down, and then we respond inappropriately, you know, whether it's profane language or, like you said, we go inward and say, I'm not good enough, you know, and all of a sudden now you're moving yourself into a depressed state, so, you know, or a self-critical type state. And so I think we have to learn as women in making the right connections and then also in making the right disconnections, it goes back to what you said. You have to know who you are as a woman, and you have to be confident in knowing who you are as a woman. And that's not conceitedness, and that's not thinking more highly of yourself than you ought to, but it's at least thinking to the level that God wants you to think about yourself. You know, sometimes our thinking is too low as women about ourselves. You know, and the scripture says, don't think more highly than you ought to think. But it never tells you not to think high of yourself, not to have good thoughts about yourself, you know. And we confuse that sometimes, and then we get all messed up in our emotions. And when that happens, we don't know how to disconnect. And if we start feeling I'm not good enough, and if that person comes back into the scene, then all of a sudden we start perking up because we think, oh, well, maybe I am good enough. But you have to know who you are as a woman, and you have to be confident in knowing who you are. And that's not making up a woman, making up yourself. It's about really knowing who you are. You know, what do you think about that?
No, that is so true. And it goes back to what I say, is that we give power to other people. And it's like when we're in a position where if someone says to you, I do not want to be with you anymore, we literally reach in, give them our heart, put our heart in their hands, and they going on and doing what they want to do, and we feel like life is going to end. One thing that I learned, and I often say, when my ex-husband came to me and said that he no longer wanted to be married to me, I spent so much time, all of the pain that I experienced at that time was pain, self-inflicted, because I spent so much time trying to convince him that that's not what he meant. Even though I heard the words that he said, his actions supported it. It had, but I was determined, I am going to convince you that that's not what you want. And the more that I did that, it caused him to react to me in a more negative way, because he was getting frustrated and annoyed with, I just told you, and you still keep coming back, and you can't keep still saying that. And that's because I admit I did not know who I was. I got so lost in being his wife and my kid's mother, I had no idea who I was. I couldn't find myself. If you told me you were going to give me $1 million, and I realized then that I had to, my healing took place when I made a decision that I was going to accept and let go. And sometimes people think that acceptance and letting go means defeat. It does not mean defeat. And so if you see it as defeat, then you will never allow that joy that is unspeakable and full of glory to ignite in your spirit, because it's being blocked from all of this level of and mindset of defeat. We can overcome anything and everything. I always say that the resurrection is proof that we can overcome anything. If Jesus could go to the grave, die, come back, live again, give us life, resurrection is proof that we can bounce back from anything. So it's all about reclaiming your time, reclaiming your life, understanding who you are, remembering who you are, so that you can have the confidence that you need to shine. When I was a little girl, all the little girls who walked around and they were cute and they were confident, we called them conceited, because that was foreign to us. They weren't conceited. They just had mothers and fathers who spoke to them and said, baby, you are beautiful. You don't let anybody treat you any way. You walk out of this house, you look beautiful every time. And because the rest of us, we didn't hear anything like that. So we automatically labeled them as conceited. But no, they were confident because they had parents who were speaking life to them and who told them how important it was to love themselves. And a lot of women, I'll be 55 in June, and a lot of women my age, and some older, some younger, are still trying to find themselves because they were never told that they can be good and they can be better and they can grow. And they spend so much time trying to do things by working things out and trying to make people like them, that they lose so much in being who they really are.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, but if anybody's listening, we heard some great teaching on tonight, and I want to encourage anyone that's listening, if your assignment is to help women, then listen to this over again. You know, listen to the replay as many times as you need to, because sometimes, you know, we hear women say they're called to help other women, and it goes back to not preparing themselves to know how to help someone who may be, you know, emotionally torn and trying to disconnect from something that's unfavorable in her life. And, you know, we have a tendency sometimes, we say cliches and we do all sorts of things, but if we're going to be amazing as women, we can't be amazing by ourselves. We have to help other women to become amazing women as well. And so if your assignment is to help women, I encourage you to learn about how we think, how we feel, how we react, you know, how we handle our emotions, and what our strengths and weaknesses are as women. Some of those things are general across the board. And so before we go and before we close out on tonight, I want you to tell the listening audience how they can connect with you. Are you coaching now? Can they get coached by you or trained by you?
I do more so mentoring than I do coaching. I do some coaching,
okay,
but I do a lot more mentoring.
Mm-hmm.
And anybody who wants to get connected with me, I do a bunch of several things. Like I have a small group of young ladies who I mentor now, and we spend time together. We do exercises together. We work together. They're different from the normal things that I do, because these young ladies have been with me for quite some time. But after in talking with anybody who desires to work with me, and you know, once we have a conversation and I see where they are and where they're going, if I cannot help them, or if I don't have anything that I feel is profitable for them in their growth and self-development, I have tons of other sisters, some amazing things that I will be happy to refer them to. I just now, and as I mentioned earlier, I started my nonprofit, and it was official on March 2nd. So a lot of my focus right now is building that up so that we can be successful and leave the imprint that God desires us to leave in this earth concerning that. But again, you know, it's based on the situation. It's based on because I am a part of the ministry team at my church, then there are levels of pastoral counseling that I can do as well. But again, it's based on what the need is, what the situation is, and you know, we can go from there.
Okay, and how can they purchase a copy of any one of the books that you co-authored?
They can go to my website, which is MarcellaDMoore.com, and if you go to the shop tab, you will see two of the books there. I need to upload the other because I actually have another one coming out next month. So anything if they want to look at any of the books that I have, they can go to the website, and the information to order them is there.
Okay. All right. Well, it has been a pleasure, and just as it was last year, and I look forward to some great things that God is going to do with your life. I'm so glad I'm connected with you and can see on Facebook as you post different things what's going on and the successes that you are experiencing in your life. Any final comments before we go?
Minister Ginger, I just want to thank you again. Like I said, it seems lightly, but I do want to thank you again because, you know, I see everybody out here doing this with these classes and these workshops and these online things, but you were doing this stuff way back before everybody started, and I am so grateful to God that your information was available to me and the trainings that you had were available to me at that time. And I want to encourage anybody and everybody who is listening to this, make sure you connect with people who can speak to your life, who can encourage you, who can uplift you. But at the same time, just don't be the person with the handout. Be the person who is willing to give as well. You have to invest in yourself. You have to do the things that are necessary to keep you amazing, because it's simple, it's real good. We can get to being amazing, but then there's some work that we have to do to stay amazing. And when you be amazing, you can stay amazing if you do everything that you need to do to maintain and sustain in that level of on that level of just being amazing. Everybody and anybody, you have the ability. I don't care what your life looks like today. I don't care what your past was, because this is how I feel about the past. I say your past does not dictate your future, but it creates lessons and blessings that you can use to empower you today. So I don't care what you've been through and what your life may look like today. Get on point, get in line, have a conversation with the Father, and then look for women who can speak into your life. Be prepared to invest in yourself, and also be prepared to be a blessing as well. So those are my final thoughts.
Amen, amen. And I like that part about making an investment in yourself. I really, really believe it. You can do that, and today you can do it. It's so much easier today than in the past. And on that note, because I forgot to mention that you do teleconferences and live events, and so do you have a teleconference that they can call into either weekly, or are you planning, you know,
as you're led?
I have every Saturday morning at 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, I do a weekly empowerment call. And that's an empowerment call. It starts on Saturday morning, as I mentioned, and it's designed to jumpstart your day. We have a time of morning inspiration, and then we go into a time of prayer. And the call has been going strong for about 5 years. When I started the call, it was myself and 8 other people, and now people are on the call from all over the country. It's an amazing time of fellowship. It's an amazing time to get together, and that's what we do. And then some of the live events that I have in May or May 5th in my community, the city where I grew up at, I'm having a day of empowerment. And it's a free event that's open to the public, and people who attend will get an opportunity to take workshops on credit repair, expungement, the art of communication, mm-hmm. interviewing techniques, just anything and everything that they need to be able to live a more fruitful and productive life. And then on June 30th, I have my annual Motivate and Pray prayer breakfast. This is going to be our 4th one, and it's a prayer breakfast. We come together, we fellowship, we have a good time, and people from all over the country who have been connected to me on the call, they come and they show up. So that's kind of like our gathering place, and it's exciting, and it continues to grow every year, and it's awesome. And then in November, I'm planning my first caregivers conference. I'm currently working on that. And on November is National Caregiver Appreciation Month. So it's in November where I want to do a conference where we just take the love on caregivers and give them information that will help support them and help them be better on their caregiver journey.
Amen, amen. So, ladies, you heard all of that. The closing remark that I really like is make an investment in yourself. You cannot be amazing by yourself. You can't be amazing without making an investment into yourself. And an investment is not always spending money. Sometimes it's setting aside time where you allow someone to speak into your life, or you listen to, maybe call into Martella's call, or listen to a teaching, or listen to a replay without being interrupted. Turn some things off. And if it's something that speaks to an area that you're dealing with, then make an investment in yourself and say, you know, I'm going to get a cup of tea, cup of coffee, and I'm just actually going to sit and listen and pay full attention to this replay because I need to disconnect, or I need to learn how to make the right connection to someone. So an investment in yourself is not always about money. It's about being intentional, intentional in wanting to improve in your life. So thank you so much, Marcella, and I'm just going to close by saying my middle name is Denise, too. I don't know if I said that the last time. I don't even know if I knew your middle name was Denise. Yeah, my name is Ginger Denise London. When you said that earlier, I was like, oh, my God, okay. So,
yes.
But thank you so much. I look forward to it, and let's not wait a year. I don't want for you
yes,
to come
ma'am.
Back on. You're always welcome to. You can always reach out to me and say, hey, I have a great teaching. Can I come on your show? And we're going to make room and time for you to do, or if you want to promote any of those events that are coming up, you want to come on and talk about them to get the word out, you know, so that people can either call in or fly in or whatever they need to do to be in front of you so that you can speak life to them. As a part of your assignment, then let's connect, and then let's help each other succeed, because I'm all about helping someone get to where God wants them to be.
Yes,
all
definitely.
Right. So thank you.
Appreciate that. Thank you.
Amen, amen, amen. You are so, so very welcome. So we're going to close out, everyone. Thank you so much. And before we do, if there's anybody that's on the line, listening by phone live, if you have a question, you can put or a comment, you can press the number 1 on your phone, and I'll bring you on, and you can make a comment or ask a question before we leave. If not, we're going to close. So we'll give you a few seconds to do that. If you're listening and have a comment or a question you would like to make, press the number 1 on your phone, and we will bring you on. And as you do that, I want to encourage you to please stay connected, because for the all throughout the rest of the month, we're going to be interviewing some amazing women. We got some great teleseminars that are going to be taking place, some great webinars that's going to take place, and it's all moving into what I'm going to call the first annual, and I'm going to try to do this in April, first Women Empowerment Virtual Conference. So, Marcel, I definitely would like for you to be a part of that. And I want to do something just uniquely different. It's just an idea that God gave me, and that is to spend about 30 days empowering women virtually, and so on every platform possible, Periscope,
Amen.
LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram, you name it. It's going to be just like if you went to a conference. You have your main session, and then, you know, in the afternoon you go to your breakout sessions, and you come back in the evening to your main session. But every day something will be happening several times a day on every platform possible to help empower women. So there will be no excuse about you couldn't make this radio show, but can you make the next telecall an hour and a half from now? You know, so it's really about empowering women and getting our voices out there across the globe, because we're on assignment and we have an avenue or a way to really get the exposure that we could not have gotten just 10 years ago. Now we can push a button and be internationally heard just sitting down in your home, not moving a muscle. So I'll tell you a little bit more about that as we get closer to it. And so that you can register and be a part of it. I don't want you to miss it, but I want you to finish out this month with us. Okay, so no questions or comments. Thank you once again, everybody, especially to Marcella, for joining us on tonight. Take care, everyone. I'm Minister Ginger London. Okay. God bless you.
God bless you.
Thank you.